اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. عظم الله لكم الأجر يا شيعة بقربي محرم وما هي إلا أيام، وننادي يا حسين يا أبا عبد الله. عظم الله لك الأجر يا رسول الله ويا أمير المؤمنين ويا فاطمة يا سيدتي نساء العالمين. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله يا مظلوم. يا غريب كربلاء، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات
الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم اخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا ابواب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.
I'm going to try to simplify the notion of who I am in order to know God in the best way that I can. And for those of you who have been attending the last few nights, first of all, I want to thank you for being patient with me, because I know that it's not the usual content and that's something new. And ask you to be a little bit more patient with me, inshallah, as I try to, as best I can, make it understandable, because I really want to share this with you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Tayyib, I am Hussein. Hussein, where are you? I am in dunya right now. I'm a human being made of flesh in dunya. Tayyib, is there anything else other than dunya? Yes. What's dunya? Dunya is the world of matter. What's the limitation of dunya? Dunya is everything that is material. How far does it go? The whole cosmos, the whole physical universe that we know is still dunya. Heaven is not very far away in the sky somewhere. All of this cosmos, this whole universe, is still the realm of dunya. Dunya means the lowest realm, because it is dani, it's of physical matter. You can see it, you can smell it, you can touch it, even out in space, There is dark energy, or whatever it is. It's not nothingness. There's something. It's just space, billions of light years of space, but it's still something, so it's still dunya. Okay, Hussein, you're part of this really vast dunya. Is there something more beyond this? Yes, there is. There is an immaterial world, a world that's not made up of time, a world that I can't touch in. The laws of physics, there is no gravity in that world. The laws of physics of density and width and height and length, these measurements that we go by, they don't count in this world of immaterial. In that world, there is no movement. In this world, there is movement because I am at point A, I must go to point B. In that world, there's only the point that you're at. When is that world going to start? Oh, it already started. How so? It's parallel with this world. That world that we call Barzakh, Alamul Mithal, or Alamul Khayal. That world reflects this world. There is a version of you in that world, the same version that you look to, the reflection in the mirror. It looks like the real you though. So, someone in this world might be the most beautiful person. It might look very attractive. She might look very attractive to the normal person. But the reflection, which is the real him or her, might look like something hideous. It might not even look human anymore. It might look like a beast or an animal, depending on how you act. Your actions, they dictate who you really are. Who you really are is not who you're going to be. It's who you are right now in that world. And that world is a world that you're creating right now. So with every action that you do, you're either planting a tree for heaven or you're starting a fire for your hell. In Barzakh, this is before the actual Jannah wa Nar that we know about in afterlife, after Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is before Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is Dunya, Hussein, you're here. And around it is Alam al-Mithal, which is happening right now on earth. People who die go to that realm. Sometimes you engage in that realm through your imagination. It's very reflective of that realm. That's why they call it Alam al-Khayal, the world of the imaginary self. Or when you dream. So you have parts of that world in you. And that's why we've been saying you are the world and the world is you. The world, not the planet, the worlds. Because beyond that layer is another layer of Alam al-Uqul, which is the world of angels and their realm. And then beyond that is the infinite realm of the necessary creator of all things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who encompasses all the realms, because it's all happening at the same time. It's happening right now. That's why He's above time. That's why we have narrations that speak about the Ahlul Bayt being beyond time, because their reality is beyond dunya. They're beyond that. They're light. We know their historical personalities and we know their names. They are 12 imams. Yet each imam says, Awwaluna Muhammad wa akhiruna Muhammad wa kulluna Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the first creation that was actually created was light. The light of the Prophet. And from everything else that was created, and everything that we interact with in life, everything that you do is an interaction with the names of God. The names of God are manifested in all of creation because there is nothing else. I really want to emphasize this. Do not think that Allah is here and then He created us and then we are here and then we connect to Him. Because if I'm here, is Allah here too? Or is it, no, I'm here. So is that a limit on Allah? It can't be a limit because He's infinite. So am I in Him? No, a'udhu billah. Otherwise that means He's made of parts. And He's not made of parts, He's infinite. So where the heck am I? That's what we're trying to explain. Yesterday, it's not that Allah created a thing and then He connects to it. Because then it's other than Him. There is nothing other than Him. There's nothing other than Him. And that's what we're trying to say. مَنْ عَرِفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرِفَ رَبَّهُ. He who knows himself knows his Lord. So here am I, me in dunya, the lowest realm. I'm on the ascent right now, so we are still in the journey of movement. Before we die, when you die, you're finally born. Because the actualized self is no longer impacted after you die here. Because whatever you created, you create you. You create you. Whatever you created there, finally, that's it. When you die here, it's done. The painting is finished. And you want to be a good artist. But A lot of people die before the painting is finished, when it's still hideous, and we don't want to be there. So you are a reflection of the world. And the world and you are all made from the names of God because there's nothing else. For you. I had to bring this out just to make things clearer. Salam ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. That final realm, right? Let's come back to the essential existence that we spoke about. Yesterday I took you guys on a really long ride. And I want to just clarify. Existence itself. I know we're not used to thinking about it. But just look, you exist. All these things around us that exist. Think of their existence. The fact that they exist. When I say unicorn, you can imagine that. You can imagine its quiddity. Its quiddity is its definition. You can imagine basically the look of a horse with a horn. But it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. But I can imagine it. I can imagine a lot of things. I can imagine a mountain made of gold. I can imagine all these things. They have a level of existence in the imaginary world because we're imagining them, but they don't exist in form. They're not created things that can affect like us. We're saying existence itself, not things that exist. Things that exist is you and me and this. I'm talking about existence, the fact that it does exist. Okay? You with me? Okay, pure existence, we said yesterday, is infinite because there's nothing that can limit existence. Nothing. Because it can't be limited. If it's limited by something, I ask you, what's it limited by? If you say something that exists, that's within existence. If it doesn't exist, then it can't limit it because it doesn't exist. So ultimately, we're here. Don't worry, I'm going to stop talking like that. We're here. We're here, existence, infinite line though, it doesn't end here, it's forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Infinite line. It never ends. That's existence. It's one and it's infinite. One and infinite. One because there can't be two of these, otherwise the limit. Then there's two, right? It's infinite. Because it's one, it's infinite. You and I exist as these centimeters on the line. 1 centimeter, 2 centimeter, 3 centimeter. That line that makes up the centimeter, that's the shape of you. You, your soul, your body, your identity, Hussein, Ali, Fatima, whoever you are, you have an identity. The identity is the border of the shape of the centimeter. And then it exists. We have an identity of a unicorn that doesn't. And then identity of Hussein Mackie that does. I exist. And you exist. Tayyib. The whole point of what we're saying is, we want to get to a stage where we stop living in the realm of the centimeter. Where I keep seeing myself as Hussein Mackey. And I can remove myself from the concept of me so that I can see that I am actually a small thing in infinite existence. And once I get rid of my borders of me, I can see that only existence exists, which I have in common with everything else and all of you. And I come back to my source and I realize my greatness. And you realize your greatness because you're beyond the hudud, the borders that you think belong to you. Because if you want to know Allah, infinity, you must know yourself, the border, and then you have to remove that border. So you can know the infinite line. You zoom out and you know the infinite line. Then that way you know infinity. Man arifa nafsa. Who knows himself, knows his Lord. And Hafiz, the great poet, says, Hijabuka nafsuka. That which blocks you from seeing the line of infinity, which is forever, it's not actually a line, it's infinity. It's pure existence. What blocks you is yourself, because you're still living where you are. Someone then asks, what are you saying? Is this kufr? Do I become God? No. You won't become God. Believe me. You can't. But you can be self-annihilated in God. Annihilate that self, then you only see beauty. And you know what that means when you really love someone. When someone finally holds their son or their daughter in their hands and feels that absolute deep love. For a moment, they forget themselves. Maybe even beyond that, even in their lives, They would feed their child before they feed themselves. They would go hungry. They'd give everything to their child. They forget who they are. That's a small example of what it means to become self-annihilated and remove your borders. But we're talking about not your child that comes from you. We're talking about the source of your child and you. The source of all of that. The source of the love that you felt for your child. The source of everything and every emotion that you feel. It is everything. But we live the play as if it's not even there. So we want to know Allah. What's the difference if I can break the border? Someone says, if you break the border, if you break the cup in the ocean and then you become the ocean, what does that mean? You became one with infinity? No, no, it's not that you became one with infinity. There's a huge difference. Because infinity, and this is the example I'm going to give right now, exists within itself whilst you rely on it. That's the difference. That's the only difference that is there between your ultimate potential and God. The difference between your ultimate potential and God is that you rely on Him and He relies on Himself. So there's always a difference. You will never attain Godhood, astaghfirullah, and that's not what we're saying at all. And I'm saying that so that no one thinks that, because a lot of questions have come about that. Okay? When tea is sweet, when I drink sweet tea, is tea naturally sweet on its own? Does the sweetness of tea come from tea? Now, what do I have to do to make the tea sweet? Put sugar in it. Sugar is sweet on its own. Sugar has its own sweetness in its own essence. Okay? If I have tea that's sweet, and I know that tea can't be sweet on its own, I know there must be something else that made the tea sweet. That's the same with everything. Whenever you find anything, if there's something that's not from its essence, the saltiness of salt water, it's not from the water, it's from salt. Salt is salty in its own essence. But salt water is salty from something else. You exist, and everything exists. But do you exist in your own essence? No. You attain existence from something else. That something else that exists, that has existence, must have existence essentially within it. Just like sugar has sweetness essentially within sugar. So existence exists on its own. That's what it is. It's existence, so it exists on its own, forever and ever and ever. Notice these are all attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Wahd, Al-Ahad, Al-Qahar, Al-Mutlaq, the infinite, the one, the only, the unique. These are all His names. Allah exists on His own because existence exists essentially. And it has to, because you and me are already here and we exist and it's not essential within us. This is a proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A proof that He exists without having to look at the effects. A lot of people think that we have to prove the existence of Allah through looking at the world and mountains and you and me and look at all of this that Allah created. Of course, as a creator, that's a good way to prove the existence of Allah, but it's far. It's going to the effect and then going to the cause. From the effect, going to the cause. In dua Arafah, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Imam says, Bika astadillu alayk. Through you, I point to you. I don't want to look at any other thing. Ruju'i ila al-athar yujibu bu'da al-mazar. I don't want to look back at the athar, the signs of you. You told me, look at the signs. You can see the signs of God everywhere. Look at the signs. But I don't want to look at the signs. Even the signs are moving me away from you. I want you, you, just you. I want to point to you to look at you without an intermediary. In Dua Sabah, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Ya man dalla ala dhatihi bi dhatih. Oh, he who pointed towards his essence through his own essence. If you and I exist, there must be something that gave us existence. That means existence exists somewhere. So let me look at that thing that exists essentially. It exists essentially. That means it exists forever. There can't be a time that existence didn't exist. Allah's always been there. He will always be there. The line, infinity. You're starting to see where you are now? You're not outside. You are not something that is connected to Him. You are the connecting point. You're just a connection. There is no something connecting to. There's just Allah and connection. You're the connection. You're not even something else. You're the connection. But you get lost in the matrix of your own self in dunya, and we start to think that this is it. And the whole point of man arifa nafsah faqad arifa rabbah, to remove yourself and know the real infinity, is because you want that. I'm not telling you something that you can do in extra time, in extracurricular activities. This is something that you're always moving towards anyway. You keep moving towards having a bigger house and having more money and having more children and a better family and a better reputation. You are doing these things every single day because you love infinity. Because you want more and more and more of all the good things. And that's normal, it's good, because Allah programmed you that way. The main thing is to realize those are not God. Those are all good things on the way to God. But God is the actual infinity you're looking for. And you're never going to be fully satisfied until you realize that you are not your border. When you remove yourself from that. And then when you come out, you will see. You will see. So when Imam Ali is asked, can you see Allah? And he says, would I worship one I don't see? Because Allah is seen by the Imam. He sees him. He says, I see him. But not with these eyes. I see him with these eyes. With the eyes of my heart. Because then that's when this conversation starts to come down to me. Okay, now what do I do? Now, when you realize this, you realize the one that you've been loving your whole life is not your wife or your husband. It's not your son or your daughter, and it's not your mother or your father. It's been Allah the whole time, and you've only seen shadows so far. All those people in your life have been shadows of God. It's been God. If you love her beauty, you loved Allah's beauty. If you love her knowledge or His knowledge, you loved Allah's knowledge. It's just an attribute that goes back to God. That's it. It always goes back to Allah, but it's a big mistake when you start to think that the mirror is the actual thing and you make that your God. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So then now we want to see. Now we realize, okay, so I love in my life. I love all these people that I work for and live for. But now I want my love to go to the actual correct source, because then that's when I'm going to be really satisfied forever and ever. Because I never actually die, because I live forever outside of the parameter of dunya and my physical body. Your body dies, but you don't die. You live forever. You want to live forever in a good state, and you're creating yourself right now with every little thing you do. You're creating the real you. It's happening now, parallel, not later. So you want to see Him? Because deen, our religion, and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all love. All of it is love, and we want to see Him. In Munajat Shabaniya, you see the love that Imam Ali alayhi salam has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he says, Ilahi habli kamalul inqita'i ilayk. Lord, gift to me, give me the gift of being completely cut off from everything except You, because You are the ultimate source of all of love. Wa anir absara qulubina bidiya'i nadariha ilayk. He says, and enlighten the eyes, absarul qulub, the eyes of our hearts, with light that allows us to see You. So the Imam is praying for that light in the heart to see Him. Hatta takhriqa absarul qulubi hujuban nur. Until the eyes of the heart, absarul qulub, cuts and pierces through the veils of light even. Hujub al-Nur. So he's saying, Ya Allah, grant me the vision with light to pierce through all the veils between You and I, even the veils of light between You and I, until I get to the fountainhead of magnificence. Hatta tasila ila ma'dan al-azama. I get to the fountainhead of magnificence. You know what that's like? When the Prophet went on the Mi'raj, and he met all the prophets. There was a point now, he was trying to go. Jibreel said, I can't go anymore, Ya Rasulullah. If I go any further, I will burn. I can't go. So Rasulullah says, only I can pierce through these. حجب النور, because between where the Prophet and Jibreel were, there were veils. Hundreds and hundreds of veils, hundreds of those kinds of years between each veil. And the Prophet on the Buraq pierces through the veils until finally he reaches a place that he calls Sidrat al-Muntaha. In that place, Allah describes what goes through the Prophet, the experience that he goes through. He says, Dana fatadalla fakana qaba qawsaini aw adna. Where he was so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says this in the Quran. He was like two bows length or even less than that away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a limit, because no one, nothing ever can come towards the essence of God ever. Even Rasulullah can't. Nothing can. Nothing can fathom the essence of Allah. You can't. It's too unfathomable for us. So even the Prophet, but he was two bows length or less in closeness to that. But there, he saw him in that place, Sidrat al-Muntaha. Not seeing him physically, he's not a physical being. You see him with your eyes, of your heart. And even here, people want to say about manifestations and manifesting the names of Allah, we can't do that, and we can't do that because Allah is great and we're human beings. Do you know what the Prophet says about his experience in Ma'raj? He said, Allah spoke to me, and He spoke to me with a voice, a physical voice that I heard with my ears. What voice did you hear, Ya Rasulullah? He spoke to me with a voice that was the most beloved voice to me. What voice was that? He spoke to me with the voice of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Ya Ali!
So how come we say, oh, human being can't manifest? Rasulullah said, Allah spoke to me in the voice of Ali. People think that that's some kind of kufr, but they don't understand. Study a little bit and you understand. You understand. Stop reading on Google and thinking you understand. Be humble and study a little bit. You'll understand. So then, the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way to remove those borders, is to realize your true love. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked, he was asked about love in religion. And Imam Sadiq replied, هَلْ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْحُبْ. He said, is religion anything other than hub, than love anyway? هَلْ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْحُبْ. So all the love that you experience, people think that I'm not passionate about Islam. Well, what are you passionate about? When they tell you, you say, oh, but all of these things are reflections of God. That you're passionate. So you are passionate about Islam. You just thought it was something else. Everyone is passionate about Allah. And Islam is the way to know Allah. Through knowing yourself, then to know Allah. Now we're knowing ourselves. What do you love is the question. And now to remove the borders of that love, to realize that it's the pure, infinite existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you actually love. But love is expensive. Love is very painful. And this is the lesson that I want to send today. If you want to love, if you really want to love, and this is going to be a difficult journey anyway, but if you really want to love, there's going to be a lot of pain on that journey. Because love comes at a cost. The great poet Khalil Gibran, when he speaks about love in his book, The Prophet, he says that if you want love, be ready to experience so much pain. But if you don't want love, fine. Don't take it. You won't get all that pain. But know that you will laugh, but you won't laugh all of your laughter. And you will cry, but you won't cry all of your tears. Because then you won't ever really, really know yourself. So you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't choose the path of love. Because you're going to love other things anyway, or God forbid, you're not going to love because your heart died. But if you're here anyway, you might as well love the thing that deserves to be loved, which has always been one thing, your source. And you love yourself, let's be real. You love yourself, that's why you do all these nice things for yourself all the time. The idea is, find out where that love for yourself came from. Remove yourself from that. And then you will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's love of His own names, because He loves the good things which are His names, is what created us. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all these things so the names can be manifested. And then creation occurs. So this love, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he describes hubbullah, the love of Allah, That's what you need. All you need on this path. Because once you attain Hubbullah, everything else will perish. Why? Because Imam Ali says, Hubbullah Noor wa Nar. The love of Allah is light and it is fire. So everything that stands in the way of Hubbullah burns. Everything burns. Even hellfire burns. Hellfire burns in the face of Hubbullah. Because when Imam Ali describes hellfire in Dua Kumay, he says, Lord, even if you put me in the hellfire, sabartu ala adhabik, fakayfa asbiru ala firaqik. I'll be patient if you put me in the hellfire and you punish me, but I won't be patient if you turn away from me. But at least if you don't turn away from me, you put me in hell, you're looking at me, okay. Because you're looking at me. Because he understands that the real relationship of this all is between him and Allah. See, punishment for real is not the fire of hell. Punishment, the real punishment is Allah turning away from you. Because then your existence is pointless. Then all of this was pointless. That hurts the most. When you realize that everything that you did was for nothing. Even when you did it for your own self, it was for nothing. When the source of who you are turns away, and you're left desolate forever in infinity and eternity. That's real punishment. He says, Ya Allah, even if you put me in the hellfire, I will tell its inhabitants that I love you. How come he says this? Because the Imam is telling us, he understands the point of all of this. That it's all love and it's always been love and nothing other than love. It's always been love. Hubbullah, Noor, wa Nar. That's why this path, Islam, is the path of love. That's why Musa Kalimullah, the one who spoke to Allah, and Isa Ruhullah, the spirit of Allah, and Ibrahim Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. These are the nicknames. And Rasulullah says, Wa ana Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. The one who started that salawat, his name is Habib right there, so that's good. Habibullah. He says, Ana Habibullah. So, this is the path of love. And he says it in the Quran, Allah quotes Rasulullah, In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhbibkum Allah. If you claim to love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. That's what the path is. This is all Quran and Hadith that I'm saying. So no one says I'm making it up. It's Quran and Hadith. Love, 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 love. هل الدين إلا الحب? Is it other than love? That's how you'll break the border. The great urafa, the great scholars on their journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they write poems to Allah. They write love letters. When they speak to God beyond their ibadah, they begin to write love letters. The same way that someone who's enchanted by a woman would wait for her at 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. just to see a glimpse of her in those romantic stories where someone wants to save the princess. Those fairy tales are exemplified in poetry. And the Arafat start to write letters to Allah in a way that they speak to Allah in metaphors. And they call the essence of God, or God, they refer with symbolism. And they say Layla, because of the great poem of Layla and Majnun. Or Qais and Layla. Why? Because Majnun, the great story goes, was absolutely over heels in love with Layla. She blew his mind and he became crazy, so they named him Majnun. His name was Qais. He became Majnun because he would just walk around the street saying Layla's name. Because he would go to where Layla was just to be in the same place that she used to be in, even if she wasn't there. He would touch the walls that Layla would go by. So the Urafa would write, even Alamat al-Tabai has phases where he writes to God. He says, Layla, what have you done to me that you've made me this much deeply in love with you? You see, they begin to have a relationship with God of pure, deep love. It's not man-woman relationship. This is just a metaphor because it's the closest thing that we can understand to that deep love. It's beyond. It's not makhluk, makhluk, creator, creator, creator to the creator. It's the deepest love. It's ishq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deep, deep, deep love with Allah.
So then I wanted to read this poem with all of you of Layla Majnun that I really love. When one night desperate Majnun prayed tearfully because it was painful, because the love that he kept feeling for Layla was driving him crazy. He says, "O Lord of mine who has abandoned me, why have you, Majnun, called me? Why have you made a lover of Layla of me?" Your Layla is Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things that you absolutely love, that drive you crazy, that hurt out of how much you love. "Why have you made a lover of Layla of me? You have made me a pillow of wild thorns, made me roam day and night without a home. What do you want from my imprisonment? O Lord of mine, listen to my plea." The Lord replied, "O lost man, with Layla's love I have your heart filled. The beauty of Layla that you see is just another reflection of me. That everything that you go through this pain of love is a reflection of God on the way to God. And if we take advantage of that, we realize that that pain is the same pain that Ibrahim was willing to sacrifice Ismail for. And so now you must come to terms with proving your love, because that means that you have to make a sacrifice too, because love is not cheap. So you have to make a sacrifice of Ismail. So who is your Ismail? What must you sacrifice on the way? In Lebanon, there is a place that I love to go to when I'm feeling very tired. It's the place where the shuhada are buried. When my heart is tired, I go there because it revives my heart. All the shuhada are beautiful, and when you go there, you see the mothers of the shuhada, the daughters of the shuhada, sitting there with the people who gave their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know, my favorite shuhada are always right at the back, that I love to go to their graves. Because when I sit down next to their graves, there's no name. They were the ones that couldn't be identified. So they don't know who is in those graves. And their families don't know they're there. So everyone visits them, perhaps it's my son. Perhaps it's my father, maybe. But then subhanAllah, everyone begins to visit those graves. The graves without a name. Because they really reflect self-annihilation in God. Because they didn't even attain the glory of dunya in terms of the shahada. And the other shuhada attained the highest levels, but they still attain glory in this world. But those ones didn't even have the glory of dunya. It's a secret between them and Allah. "Ya Allah, I gave you my life. I gave you my whole self that no one could identify me. Do you accept my Ismail? What do you give? What will you give?" Love is expensive. But that's love. That's real love. هَلْ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْحُبِّ. Is this path other than love? And love comes with a lot of pain. And then we understand Karbala differently. When Sayyidah Zainab said, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. She was not just saying it as if it was a metaphor. She saw the names of God being manifested in that story playing out. She saw courage and honor and dignity and nobility and love from the oldest sheikh to the youngest baby. She saw it all, everyone doing the absolute right thing in that moment, each one giving Ismail after Ismail. There is a hadith Qudsi that allows us to understand Karbala a little bit more. And I'll end on this hadith. Allah says in this hadith, "Man talabani wajadani." He who searched for me, found me. So if you search for Allah, you will definitely find Him. "Man talabani wajadani. Wa man wajadani arafani." And if you will find me, you will know me. If you search for him, how did you search for him? مَنْ عَرِفَ نَفْسَ فَقَدْ عَرِفَ رَبَّهُ. عَرِفَ. So عَرَفَنِي. He knows me. He searched for me. He found me. He knew me. At that stage now, the person has completed مَنْ عَرِفَ نَفْسَ فَقَدْ عَرِفَ رَبَّهُ.
من طلبني وجدني. He who searched for me found me. ومن وجدني عرفني. And he who found me knew me. ومن عرفني أحبني. And he who knew me loved me. That's how you break the border. ومن أحبني عشقني. And he who loved me does not just end on love, because once you start to love Allah, you lose your mind in the love of Allah. So you have عشق for Allah. عشق, nothing else remains. He who loves me has عشق for me. ومن أحبني عشقني. ومن عشقني عشقته. And if he has عشق for me, I have عشق for him. ومن عشقته قتلته. And he who I have عشق for, I kill. That's how the love of Allah acts. Because it is too much for any entity to handle, the entity is killed by that love, by that ishq. And you know, in Islam, if there is ever a killing, there is blood money to be paid. If you kill someone, there is blood money for that blood. There's a haq for the life that was taken. So Allah says, my ishq killed him. وَمَنْ قَتَلْتُهُ فَعَلَيَّ دِيَّتُهُ. And he who I kill, I pay his blood money. I will pay the recompense. Because I killed him with my love. Okay, Ya Allah, your love killed this person, this lover of yours. How do you pay them back for their life? What do you give? What is the diyya? وَعَلَيَّ دِيَّتُهُ. What's the diyya? He goes, أَنَا الْدِيَّ. I am the recompense. I am the blood money. Abu Abdullah, through ishq, gave his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it was. Hubbullah nur wa nar. The love in the heart of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam burned everything that stood in the way. And he died as a cause. And Allah in return gave him everything which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله يا عطشان يا On that night, Abu Abdullah looks towards the enemy soldiers. On the night before Ashura, he sees thousands upon thousands thirsty for his blood. He knows all these people are here to take his life. He knows all these people are here to cut him down. He then looks towards the tent. He sees his companions, his loyal companions. He sees his family. He sees Abbas. He sees Akbar. He sees Habib. And he doesn't want them to go through what he is about to go through. So he gathers them all around him and he says, my loyal companions, This night has come. You may flee in the middle of the night. If you go, I won't blame you. Save yourselves. The calm only wants me. Imagine the loneliness Abu Abdullah felt in his heart at that moment, when he told everyone to leave whilst he remained to fight alone. Zuhair stood up, Ya Abu Abdullah, if I was to be killed and burned and have my ashes thrown into the wind, to be revived and killed and burned, and have my ashes thrown one more time, 70 times, 1,000 times, I will never leave you, Ya Aba Abdullah. One by one, the companions stood and said, we won't leave you, Ya Aba Abdullah. They brought joy to the heart of Imam al-Hussein. They took away the loneliness from his heart. How we wish we were with you on that night, Ya Aba Abdullah. So I could give you my life, Ya Aba Abdullah. He then showed them the sky and showed them paradise and told them where they will be by the night time of the morrow. And then Qasim asked, Ya Ammar, Uncle Hussein, what about me? He said, my son Qasim, how do you find death? With you, uncle, it is sweeter than honey. Imam al-Hussein embraces Qasim and goes back to the tent. Zainab calls to Abu Abdullah. She tells him, brother, I feel anxious in my heart. Brother, will you be alone tomorrow? Brother, I fear the companions might leave us tonight. One of the companions heard Zainab. He went and told Habib. Habib felt disgraced. He called all the companions and he went outside of the tent of Zainab and he said, Ya Bint Ali, we are your soldiers. We will guard you with our lives. We will never leave you, Ya daughter of Ali. She then called out, Assalamu alayka, Ya Habib. So Habib put dust on his head. Who am I for the daughter of Haidar to send salam upon me? I am at your service, O family of Rasulullah, until the spears and swords take my last breath. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. ولعنة الله على الظالمين إلى يوم القيامة.